President Biden announced some new guidelines that could allow you to be outside without wearing a mask. Don't follow my unofficial guidelines. Get the official guidelines. He even put out a chart that explains all the guidelines, and that led to some jokes. Jimmy Fallon said, when people heard the news, the streets started flashing their mouths like it was Mardi Gras. Fantastic joke. I just want to go home right now. Jimmy, oh wait, I am home. I'm in the basement. What am I talking about? Jimmy Fallon, I got to be honest. I'm going to miss wearing a mask. The adult acne made me feel young. You know, I do know I've had this acne for like 8 months. I even went to the dermatologist. I still have it. Ah, Colbert. Oh yeah, take it off, baby. Show daddy them nostrils. Kimmel, that's good news. Where are we on pants? Are those still required? Colbert, this is great news for people who love fresh air, but a little late for those who already have tan lines. Trevor, now we can go back to the good old days of giving each other dirty looks because of racism, classism, sexism, albinism, homophobia, and those people who wear Adidas pants with Nike shoes. Trevor, you see, we never needed masks. We already knew how to hate each other. Fallon, on the bright side, now we can stop weirdly opening our eyes to greet people on the street. Fallon, the chart ranks activities from safest to less safe to least safe. It's the same chart people use when deciding between Delta, United, and Spirit Airlines. That's great, Trevor. The chart is unreadable. You don't see the Forest Service putting out flowcharts like no fires unless the fires are in stone pits or you come from a long line of firefighters or you watch the weather and you know a rainstorm is coming in a few minutes. No, what they do is they say no fires or this bear is going to eat your bleeping family. Trevor. Yeah, I know the CDC is just trying to cover all the bases because maybe there's a tiny chance you could get corona even if you're vaccinated. But if that messaging ends up convincing people that there's not much of a reason to get vaccinated at all, then we're shooting ourselves in the foot, which is not something we should do. Or as the CDC would put it, masked guy in an indoor red zone. Corden, because what better way to get people to remember something than a 14-row, three-column, color-coded document with loads of text? Corden, I love it because if you look, exercise class is the last thing on the list. It's even the list going, look, we both know you're not going to do it. From Variety, Joe Rogan draws big audiences for Spotify. That's good, but the hugely popular podcaster's habit of making controversial remarks and courting right-wing figures and ideologies keeps generating a backlash both inside and outside of the audio giant. Variety writes, the latest vexation, interesting word, in the April 23rd episode of the Joe Rogan Experience, a comedian on the show said, if you're like 21 years old and you say to me, should I get vaccinated? I'll go no. Rogan commented that he believes vaccines are safe and said people at risk should be vaccinated, noting that both his parents have received it. But Rogan continued, if you're a healthy person and you're exercising all the time and you're young and you're eating well, like, I don't think you need to worry about this. We're talking about something that's not statistically dangerous for children, but yet people still want you to get your child vaccinated, which is crazy to me. Spotify did not respond to requests for comments on the latest Joe Rogan controversy. From the Laugh Button, Sarah Silverman has joined the cast of Kill the Orange Face Bear. It's a live action and animation hybrid, quote, a comedy pilot about one man's epic revenge journey after a bear eats his girlfriend. Sarah Silverman voices Brenda, the sarcastic badass grizzly bear who attacked and ate Hank's fiance, Stacy, for personal reasons. When Stacy's friends panicked and mistook a can of spray paint for bear mace, they turned Brenda's face orange, but she won't let being marked make her an easy target for Hank's revenge plan. Previously announced cast include Damon Wayans Jr. as Hank, the charming, funny, and grieving man who's hellbent on tracking down Brenda the bear. Jesse Hodges has been cast as Stacy. Listen to this. She's Hank's late girlfriend, but Jesse Hodges also plays Jamie, who is Stacy's twin sister with a confusing secret. More animation news from the Las Vegas Sun. John Caparulo decided last year, instead of turning to virtual stand-up shows, he would work on his animated comedy project called Cartoon Comic, which is now on YouTube, Facebook, and johncaparulo.com. John said, I can't draw, which is why this took so long. But I've been wanting to turn myself and my stand-up comedy into a cartoon for a while. So when live audiences were essentially illegal, this was adaptable to the situation. It's a unique approach because the thing about doing shows on Zoom, it just seemed like the type of thing I would feel bad about taking people's money for. Just not the right setting for me. I need some sort of energy, and the animation gives you something more to watch. He He's excited about his new residency at Harris, saying, "Once I knew I wasn't going to be able to go and do a new hour of stand-up every month, I went to this thing I've wanted to try for a long time. So we're passing the hat around to the live audience, so they write down some suggestions for topics, and we try to keep it to five words or less. Then I go on stage and wing it. It's really fun because it's interactive. The audience feels invested in it, and it's fun for me because I get to see where it goes. And if the show sucks, it's their fault." Hey, more animation news. From the laugh button, the Flintstones is coming back for some reason. Fox is developing a sequel to the Flintstones. This one is called Bedrock. It follows the Flintstone family 2 decades after the original, with Fred on the brink of retirement and 20-something Pebbles embarking on her own career. As the Stone Age gives way to a shiny, enlightened new Bronze Age, the residents of Bedrock will find this evolution harder than a swing from Bam Bam's club. Are we really doing woke Flintstones? Please don't. Stephen Colbert has said that it's been much harder without an audience. There's some vital performance adrenaline spark that's missing. I'm much more likely to mess up and have to retake something, lose the rhythm of a joke, or even just misread the prompter. He likes having his wife Evie in the room. It gives me enormous joy when I hear her laugh. I wanted something intimate with the audience, and that intimacy and the genuine happy laugh that comes with joking around with Evie is something that I'd always thought if I could do that, I'll make it, because that'll be something special. So that's some Stephen Colbert news. Keep that in mind. I also have Jimmy Kimmel news. Jimmy is one of the producers on a new ESPN film called Once Upon a Time in Queens, a 4-part series on the 1986 Mets. That is so in my wheelhouse. If you saw where I was recording, I'm basically in the Mets room. I have original 1986 pennants on the wall over my right shoulder. So this is all for me. If you were unfamiliar with the 1986 Mets, this program will tell the story of the Mets World Series comeback, spoilers, using hours of never-before-seen footage of the team. Players featured include Bobby Ojeda, Daryl Strawberry, manager Davey Johnson, Dwight Gooden, Keith Hernandez, Kevin Mitchell, Lenny Dykstra, Mookie Wilson, Roger McDowell, Sid Fernandez, and Wally Backman. So that's Jimmy Kimmel news, and I told you to remember there was Stephen Colbert news. So this is a good time to plug this week's Comedy's Top Dog Late Night Edition. You guys are going on Instagram, and you're deciding between Colbert and Kimmel. I have to, like, tally these votes, but just doing it, like, skimming it, it's pretty close. So you want to jump in here. You want to go to Instagram at Daily Comedy News and tell me who should win this week. Is it Stephen Colbert or Jimmy Kimmel? And you want to write something funny in the comments, because that gives me something to say. Lori did that and wrote, "It pains me, but it has to be Jimmy. I loved Colbert until the Trump era, and although I'm not a Trump fan, I felt he had an agenda and became more mean and personal than funny." Lori also realized, "I am Sea Gypsy," or as I call her, Sea Guy Spy. Turns out she logged into her phone, and that was a username she'd used on a game a million years ago. Anyway, thank you, Sea Gypsy, and Sea Gypsy had logged in to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews, which, if you like the program, is a great way to support the show. You can hit the tip jar for $5. I will take your money and buy a large iced coffee, although I apparently forgot to bring it down to the studio today, which means it's upstairs melting. Also, I noticed this morning at the donuts chain, they've got, like, new coconut products. Now, I always like trying the new products because maybe they're awesome. But there's a risk there. Like, if I just get a large iced coffee with caramel and milk, I know what I'm getting. If I go off menu and start getting, like, coconut stuff, pretty risky. But maybe you could support my experimentation at buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. You can also do a recurring payment. It'll just ding your account once a month. That's the equivalent of subscribing to the show, which is a new trendy thing happening in the podcast. But let's not bog down in that. By now, you've listened to yesterday's episode, and you found out that that grenade-looking thing was indeed a sex toy. Lane Spurkus had guessed that it was a failed 3D printout of SpongeBob's house. Nope, it was a sex toy. Elaine also suggested maybe it was a survivalist chic container for beard oil. Nope, it was a sex toy. Sea Gypsy thought it might be Manly Man cologne. Nope, it was a sex toy. And boy, I just screwed up the flow of the show because I just riffed 3 sex toy jokes in a row. And now I have to switch into comedian Carl LeBove passed away last week. Awkward segue. Carl was an original founding member of the Outlaws of Comedy. He began his comedy career at age 19. His best friend back then and until the day he died, Sam Kinison. The comic's comic quoted comedian Mike Binder, who said, "When Carl and Sam came out from Texas, Carl LeBove was the funnier of the two." Over the years, the relationship between Sam and Carl got complicated. Fasten your seatbelts, you're not ready for this. Over the years, Carl came to terms with the fact that his child might probably be Sam Kinison's. LeBove said, "I think in that moment, even though I haven't admitted in many years, I think I forgave him for all the things he did to me. You know, I found out he fathered my daughter after he was dead. So he was having an affair behind my back with my wife, and I knew he was doing it with other people, but I didn't think he was going to F me over, but he did. I'm lucky I got here. I got to learn how to forgive myself of all things. I got to make things right. If you want to hear some Carla Bova, I'm going to play him on next week's Weekly Comedy Thing. That's the show I host on the Live by Live app. That episode will go live on Sunday morning, and I'm planning on playing Carl and Sam back to back. That is your comedy news for today. You can follow the show on Spotify. You can follow the show on Apple Podcasts. You can follow the show on Google Podcasts. Or, you know what? Wherever you want to follow the show, follow the show. I don't plug my Twitters enough. At DCN Pod is the one for the show. At McD Radio, at MCD Radio is my personal one. There's a Facebook page and stuff, but lately Instagram seems to be the place to be. Instagram at Daily Comedy News. Post something or react to one of my posts. Love reading your comments. Love building a community around the show. See you tomorrow.